Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Monday. I can't figure it out either. It is the 2nd of November. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
And this is Hugh Down. So sorry, John Martellaro. Good morning.
Thank you, John. Also with me today, I have the other half of the dream team, Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Yeah, we've got to stage. I can be anyone you want.
Just before the show, we got one more thing. This announcement
breaking
from
news,
Apple.
Klaxon.
Beep, 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 beep. One more thing. This just in. Apple is doing another event, another month, another event. So this one is going to be the 17th of November, I believe is what we saw.
10th.
Oh, it's the 10th? Oh, we thought. Yeah, there was a rumor of the 17th, and now it's going to be the 10th. Okay.
Yes.
So that means they're going to announce something awesome for my birthday, which is fantastic.
That is specifically what the Apple product calendar is designed around.
You know, it does make sense. That's why the HomePod Mini is going to start showing up to people on my birthday is because I needed a HomePod, just like Charlotte needed an Apple Watch SE. And so they built one. So it's good to know we wield that kind of power down there at Infinite Loop. So one thing I'm hoping for, and part of the reason it's sort of fortuitous, we got this announcement a little bit ago, is I hope part of the one more thing is possibly some Apple TV hardware. And so that ties nicely into it being Media Monday, which is part of why the Dream Team is here. So I hope that's what we see. I expect we're going to get the new Apple Silicon machines. But I hope we get some. The question is,
which ones? That's a question to ponder.
That's always been the question. We've hashed it out a few times here.
It's going to be the MacBooks, we think.
Okay.
I think.
You think. Okay.
And also, I suspect they will tell us that Big Sur is becoming available.
Yeah, it makes sense to wait for Big Sur until the 10th. Yeah. It's probably a release candidate now, but sensible to hold it for a week, yeah.
Yeah, so I suspect that will happen. I have to say, you'll dig into on this show and maybe tomorrow some other speculation about what we're going to look forward to at the event. Yeah. But I would like to say, John Martellaro did call this, that the way events are happening, not in person, you know, it's Apple basically creating a video that's only being a bit disingenuous because they're very high production quality and take time. But that is what they're doing, has led to more events instead of them trying to cram stuff in to, you know, maybe an hour, 90 minutes. They're doing more events and they're a bit shorter and a bit snappier.
Filled the Steve Jobs Theater with journalists 3 months in a row. That would have been too much.
It would never have happened. And John did actually in his piece.
Never mind the pandemic, just getting on a plane 3 months in a row.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's got nothing. It's because they're doing these events virtually that they're happening more frequently instead of them putting more stuff into one event, I think.
Right.
And John did actually call that was a likely outcome.
Yeah. So, Charlotte, what do you hope for and what do you expect?
So I hope for and expect Big Sur, because I'm very interested to play with that.
Okay.
I'm not in the market for a new Mac, so shmeh, but I suspect we will see some kind of new Mac. Maybe, I think you guys are going to be right regarding MacBooks or Pros. Do we get a new iMac? It's not impossible, I guess. Will there be a new iMac? So yeah, I think that maybe they'll in time for the people starting to get interested in the Apple One bundle, launch an Apple TV 4K that is the hub for that. There won't be a new HomePod because we would have seen that with the Mini.
Yeah. I expect that we will get a new computer. I don't know if I expect it to be a laptop or not. I can see why it would be a Mini, but I can also see why it wouldn't be.
Maybe they'll properly upgrade the Mini for once. That would be fantastic.
And it would also be a way to roll it out sort of slowly because the Mini is not the number one seller. So it would be nice to have it available in some Apple hardware, and you could buy an Apple computer and take it home if you wanted to. And you know, but it's not going to be like if there are unforeseen issues, you know, it's not going to be a black eye against the entire laptop line. Right. So that's why I think it might be not a 13-inch laptop. But also, you know, if you want to swing for the fences, then exactly where you put it is in your 13-inch laptop, or you know, you resurrect the MacBook name and call it something else, you know, so you get an Apple Silicon version or whatever. I hope for TV Plus hardware, because I would like to see an update to that in a few ways. Part of that, I think, would fold in nicely with Apple Arcade and, you know, make it a little gamier, like Andrew wrote up not that long ago. And then the other thing that I would like to see is we've heard rumor after rumor about a new generation of AirPods, AirPods Pro. AirPod Studio is a name for a product that's kicked around a little bit. And I would like to see some headphones from that. So I think this might be sort of a batting cleanup kind of an event for the stuff that didn't quite fit into the two we had already.
So, well, I think there'll be a bit of that, but you don't call it one more thing unless there's a big thing.
No, right? The big thing is the Apple Silicon, of course. I expect that, but I hope for some other sort of ancillary announcements and that we don't spend an hour on this machine sense. And call it good.
Yeah. I mean, it would also make sense to release some new headphones before people start buying stuff.
Well, that can be a press release event. You don't want to muddy the waters too much. I mean, there's a lot to cover with Apple Silicon.
I don't know. We've talked a lot about Apple Silicon and Big Sur this year, so I don't know. But anyway, we'll find out.
I would like one more thing to be a machine called the Mac Pro Mini. And I've talked about that before.
The Mac Pro Mini Plus.
Mac Pro Mini Plus SE.
A really powerful Apple Silicon machine that plays a role between the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro.
The Mac Pro SE. I'm so excited for it.
Oh, there you go, Charlotte.
The Mac Pro SE. Okay. I love it.
All right, I'll let you go.
Or we could just go back to old school names, you know, and just call it the SE Plus, right? That would be fun. We'll see. So we will talk more about that this week as we get more rumors, things like that. It's going to be next Tuesday, so housekeeping note, the show will be a little later so that we can properly absorb the glory of said event before we start shooting our mouths off about it. So next Tuesday, the show will be a smidge delayed. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute to talk to you about our sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Mint Mobile. And you should know that Mint Mobile has done you a favor in this year of sort of bad news. Here's some good news. It's a lot easier to break up with your old wireless provider thanks to Mint Mobile. They're online only, so you don't have to worry about having to go into a store or anything. And what they want to give you with their online only experience is unlimited data for $30 a month. Unlimited talking, unlimited texting, and unlimited data for $30 a month. So, like I said, they're online only. So without all those retail stores, that's part of how they can make their plans less expensive. Everything comes with, like I told you, unlimited talk and unlimited text. And you can use any phone. You can use the phone that you have right now and just switch it over to Mint Mobile. You keep all your contacts, all your apps, all your high scores and all the games that you're playing on your phone. All of that's fine. And if you switch and don't like it, Mint Mobile has a 7-day money back guarantee. If you want to get your new unlimited wireless plan for just $30 a month, by the way, I've done this switch and it's a piece of cake. Everything shows up at your house and it's great. It doesn't take very long to do and everything goes really smoothly. You can get the whole thing shipped to your door for free from mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. You can cut your wireless bill to $30 a month at mintmobile.com/TDO. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, the thing we want to talk about with Media Monday is we want to chat a little bit about Apple TV Plus, which just celebrated its first birthday. And Charlotte, you broke down a little bit about this over at the Mac Observer for us.
Yeah, first birthday I think was yesterday, Sunday, November 1st. Mm-hmm. It's been a pretty interesting year, as I say in the piece. I'm not sure if it's could have picked a worse or better time to to start a new service. Probably if you're going to start a streaming service, a time where people need lots of TV to watch is no bad thing, particularly if barely anyone is having to pay for it. So, yeah, that too. I think if you were judging the first year of Apple TV in a rating out of 10, I'd give it, what, 7?
6.
You're going 6. Okay, yeah.
John
six.
Is still holding Ted Lasso against TV Plus.
Whereas most people would say that's the main reason they watch TV Plus.
That's why, yeah. Like, I would give it a 7 because of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso, I think.
No, I have really, really enjoyed Tiny World. I really enjoyed
Right, that's a great. I forgot to put that in my piece.
See, Tiny World is great. Is Dickinson, John.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
But this is the thing. When we start discussing the shows we've liked, we all come up with different things, and suddenly you realize there's actually quite a lot on there.
Mm-hmm.
Which was not. We were not convinced that was going to be the case. 12 months ago, even 9 months ago.
Right.
I read an article about that a while back. It said that Apple TV Plus is now in a situation where the extra content that's been added has kind of like put it on good footing.
Yeah.
Because it could only grow and get better and better. And as more content adds, there's less and less concern about back catalog.
Yeah, and they are doing the back buying up some back catalog stuff, but I think that's right. That suddenly there is quite a lot. Kelly and I, you and I have discussed this a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
How you kind of used to be able to get to the end of TV Plus, and now it's a lot harder.
Because mm-hmm. That was always my concern about TV Plus when we heard Apple wanted to get into the streaming business. Was then what? Like, I watched The Morning Show, I watched For All Mankind. Now what?
Watched. But defending Jacob.
By the way, I'm watching The Right Stuff on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. and The Right Stuff is a whole lot better than For All Mankind on Apple TV Plus.
John can't get over the alternate history, just for people playing along at home. So yes,
and I think what's also quite telling is the we've discussed these, the number of big names that are signing first look contracts. So there's a lot more to come. The problem is we don't really have any real numbers.
Right.
You can guesstimate a bit how many people have TV Plus. We don't really know how many people watch The Morning Show.
I've seen some good numbers that say 10 to 15 million.
Okay.
Yes, I can see that being realistic, but Apple doesn't tell us proper numbers, is my point.
Right. And they're confident enough to bring
about Nielsen. There's no Nielsen rating for anything online, so like we don't know this for anybody, really.
So. We sort of have a better idea of what we know. Netflix numbers, for example, we don't know individual. You know, Apple does not separate out TV Plus subscriber numbers. What we do know is the vast majority of the people that would be included in that number do not pay 1 cent or one penny for it. But it's obviously a driver to get people to pay either on its own, but mainly for Apple One, the fourth mm-hmm. bundles that are now available.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot going on. I think year two could be quite exciting. There's Jon Stewart is on his way over to TV Plus.
Yeah.
Kind of imminently. We've seen a lot of big name shows kept on
mm-hmm.
for the second, and in the case of Ted Lasso, a third season before the second one even exists.
Right.
So all that stuff is, but like, it's big stuff. And we've also seen with the Bruce Springsteen Letter to You release how TV Plus is just part of a growing Apple ecosystem, and they have a whole, you know, content. You know, a whole set of services now that are connected. So there is a lot going on.
You know what concerns me, Charlotte?
What I'm
concerned about is Apple's philosophy of the slow burn and accumulation versus the sex appeal of something big. And you know, CBS just came out with Star Trek Discovery Season 3. Disney Plus just came out with Season 2 of Mandalorian. HBO Max is in full swing. And Apple doesn't have, you know, The Morning Show is their signature series, but it's season two has not arrived yet. And there is
I think we would have seen it.
You know, you got to have something really exciting and sexy to keep people wound up.
Yeah.
As you build your quality content.
Yep.
And I'm a little bit concerned that Apple doesn't have a couple of really big signature series. Foundation is not out yet. And I don't think that's going to be the demise of Apple TV Plus, but it's a struggle to, you know, get people's attention and get them to pay up. And there's a lot of competition out there with Disney Plus and Netflix and Amazon Prime. So how is Apple perceiving their ability to compete?
Yeah.
And are they going to take a long-term view and just, you know, take their lumps? Or are they struggling to come out with something exciting that will get people's eyeballs in the middle of subscription fatigue and overload? That's my question.
I think it's the right question, and I've not yet seen a good answer. And I thought I knew the answer. And then the different timings of and the ability to get at least our TV Plus for a year with an iPhone 12, and also arcade free for at least 3 months with an iPhone 12 has somewhat confused me now. Like, I thought I understood what the plan was, which was basically by February, if you want Apple services, you probably want an Apple One bundle. And now I think they've confused it a bit, but maybe they're betting on people who spend less time fussing about this stuff than I do, just going, oh, I want all those things, I'm just gonna get it.
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of that's totally happening with this. Particularly with the bundle, because of the free year or adjusting it. So if you did have a free year, like everybody that got one last year with an iPhone 11 or 11 Pro, all of those people who got that free year of TV Plus, that free, we have to air quote it, year is now extended into February for all of those folks. So nobody's going to end up paying. Anybody who signed up for free last year isn't going to be paying until next year.
Plus, if you get, as far as I'm aware, even if you've had that for a year that you keep till February, and then you bought in that intermediate period buy an iPhone 12. I think you get a second year free.
Well, we'll find out, because I got a free year with my 11 Pro last year, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, as I think I've mentioned, when I was in the Apple store, that was the impression, picking up my 12 Pro, that was the impression I was given. So this has confused me somewhat anyway, but I think in general what is positive about TV Plus is it's very clearly no longer a vanity project. It's clearly a thing they are taking very seriously.
Yeah.
They have them, they're putting lots of money into it. They obviously have the ability to do so. The fact that there are actually, like, the fact that the biggest thing, we haven't even mentioned Oprah yet, tells you how much other big stuff there is on there. So I think it's, generally, you've got to be happy with your first year. Basically, a company that's never created content has created a TV studio, it has outsourced production, but it's created a fountain of TV and a TV commissioning process. It has signed up huge, huge blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
And most people would find on there something that they would be interested in. But
should Apple have grabbed the James Bond show? No Time to Die.
We don't know if they have. $600 million. We haven't heard anything about how that actually turned out.
It looks like they've declined, but they may still take a shot at it.
Yeah, see, that's not a done deal.
They would have to charge 20 million subscribers $30 to make up $600 million.
Or, you know, take out the cushions in the break room couch and take a good look there.
I'm not going to blow off $600 million. They made money. That's a large amount of money for Apple.
It's a big amount of money for a service basically no one is paying for.
Yeah. But
James Bond is a big deal.
I saw one tweet or an article, I forget, that said if Apple TV Plus is going to be taken seriously, it needs to do something like that to put it on good footing. Because, you know, if you think
that's
about
a bit unfair, given they had a Tom Hanks movie have stuff with Martin Scorsese, Leo DiCaprio.
Oprah.
Oh, never mind Oprah being the face of it from the start.
Yeah.
Plus Jennifer Aniston, plus... I don't know if being taken seriously is the problem yet, within the industry at least.
Well, the problem is that if you were to start from a clean slate and say, what am I going to subscribe to? Number one would be Netflix. Number two would be Amazon Prime. Number three would be Disney Plus, and then you'd be fighting for fourth place.
I think there's also a percentage of that
ways to go and make itself a player.
Well, and I mean, the rights that would come along with that, like, would you be the one-stop shop for streaming James Bond movies? Because I think that is a much more compelling offering than just one. I mean, yes, it's the new one, and I get that. Trust me, I'm a James Bond fan. I was really excited it was going to come out in November, because that's when it should be. But it's still sort of... I think it's still up in the air, because, like, we heard about, you know, the efforts made, but we never heard about the outcome. So we will find out more, I'm sure. And that's going to have to do it for us today. We will talk more about this soon. You can always hear about media stuff here, particularly from our media beat reporter, Charlotte, and media consumer, John. Thanks, both of you, for being here. Charlotte, as always, it's a pleasure having you on.
Thanks so much.
And John, as always, thanks for coming by.
Always great to be here.
Glad to have you. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.